I'm Neil from the Starling Tribune, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual host. Check out all the other great podcasts at gunnageek.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
To episode 11 of Better Podcasting. I'm Stephen John Drew, and with me today is my friend, my colleague, my co-podcaster, Stargate Pioneer.
I'm surprised you didn't say I'm your nemesis.
You are my nemesis. My Star Trek nemesis.
I was thinking about that movie today. I remember the first time I watched it, I fell asleep.
Yeah, I remember it being pretty bad. I remember it being pretty darn terrible.
And then we were rebooted with J.J. Abrams, and he went on to Star Trek, and then we have had greatness, and it's all good. But we're not here to talk about sci-fi movies.
No,
we're here to talk about podcasting.
That's true. And speaking of podcasting, if you did not check out our episode 10, we finally closed up our gear arc, and in there, we ended up making a big announcement. SP, what was that announcement?
That announcement is that we will be giving away Audio-Technica ATR-2100. We're having a giveaway contest. All you have to do is email us at contest@betterpodcasting.com on what you would use the mic for. You don't have to have one right now if you're just starting out, or if you just want to get a little bit better sound, or if you want a mic on the road or whatever, just get it to us. And I'll tell you, the funnier, the better it's going to be. But really, we're not a comedy podcast. We're a serious podcast. So if you need one of these, ATR-2100, go ahead and email us, and you will be entered into the contest giveaway.
And I just want to go ahead and remind the audio listener that we are giving away an unopened ATR-2100. It is not one that we've used and traveled with or anything like that. It is a brand new ATR-2100. So it is a phenomenal microphone. We've talked about it before. And if you are interested in it, absolutely, please email us. And yeah, the only reason that we want you to tell us a little bit about it during your entry is because it makes for great talking. It makes for great talking and conversation on the podcast here. So we want you to chime in and let us know. So please do that. And we can't wait to give that away. We're going to run the contest until the end of February 2016. So we will do a draw in March and give it away to one lucky audience member.
You could be the lucky audience member.
Don't worry. Yeah. There's no Oprah moment here. No Oprah moment here.
There's no ATR 2100 under your seats just waiting for you to pick it up. No, yeah. Sorry, guys.
If there is, we didn't put it there, but I encourage you to take it. So
take it, run.
So you might be asking yourself, now you finished up your gear arc finally, what are you guys going to talk about next? Well, you are in luck because we have planned that. And we actually have a few part series going on. Supposed to be three, but I'm not going to call it three. I'm going to call it a few part. Just in case I screw up like the last one. And it is going to be on the duties of hosting, because there are a variety of responsibilities depending on the role that you're in the hosting chair. So that is something that we are going to talk about, a few different things. And today we're going to start off with, I know it's a little weird, but we're going to start off with the co-hosting role, because you got your co-host, and then you also kind of have your lead host. And there's a bit of a difference. And co-hosting can also be how you consider yourself with another podcaster, because you could be doing a solo podcast. But today we're talking about co-host, right, SP?
Absolutely. So I am a co-host on Gunna Geek, which has 20 some odd episodes out right now.
Yeah.
I have done 50 episodes with Voices of Defiance with a couple of co-hosts. I've done over 100 episodes of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. There is close to 100 episodes out there of Starling Tribune, all with co-hosts. And the only reason those podcasts have those numbers that they have is because they have been successful, because the co-hosts have been successful in working on the podcast, in working behind the scenes on the podcast, in being integrated into the podcast. You don't just sit down and show up and grip it and rip it, unless that is your job. But yeah. Usually podcasts, if you're producing a podcast, it's a team of one usually. And if you have co-hosts, you need to contribute to the podcast in order to make it successful. Now, do you need it? No, but it, like 99% of the work is great. And those podcasts that I just mentioned are pretty cool. I do a solo podcast called Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box. And the only reason that podcast succeeds is I get segments. So the people that Adam and Lauren and Neil that read their segments on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box, it wouldn't be Long Box Edition without them. I wouldn't be able to do all the work myself. And that's why it's divvied up between everybody. So co-hosting is a very important part of podcasting.
It is. It is. And the thing that you need to remember is SP also talked about producing. And one method that some producers do is writing down edit points as they go. There's kind of two different ways that that you can edit. And one is just do the whole thing, go back, play it later, and find the points that need to be fixed. Or sometimes people will, as they're listening, write down the different time points. Well, guess what? Usually the person that is producing it is going to pay a little bit of attention to that, and then they're going to go and write it down as they hear the errors, the different time codes. And your co-hosts have to be able to recognize that and be prepared to sort of take the ball during that moment. So, you know, there is something that to be said that every co-host has a responsibility to lead the program.
Absolutely. Everybody has have to get their insert points and make sure they can take the ball and run with it. As you get more co-hosts, there's more of a give and take between the different co-hosts. Like on Goody Geek, we have four regular co-hosts, and we have to recognize when each person is going to talk, when each person is going to insert themselves, and try not to overtalk each other. But it's an important skill to know. Mm-hmm. And another way a co-host can be a part of that is they can write down the edit points as well. Like, for example, Chris is very good at doing that when we ask him on Gunna Geek.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But let's just walk you through a little bit here, because we kind of have a few different sections of the co-host duty. And the first that we want to talk about is, it's something that comes before you even record. It's the expectations. And that's something that every host and co-host of a show has an expectation for each other. That's something that you're going to build a relationship with your co-host, and you all need to have you will all build certain expectations of each other of what they can do. One thing, though, that everybody is probably going to expect you as a co-host on the show is dependability and reliability. That is something that you get together with a group of podcasters and you all decide that you want to do a podcast. Doesn't matter what's it going to be, once a week, twice a month, you know, once a month, whatever it is, there's going to be an expectation that you're going to meet that recording schedule. Now, there are podcasts that have people coming in and out and things like that, and maybe you're only expected to be dependable one episode a month. Maybe that's the way your episode or your show goes. But you want to keep in mind that if you do not meet that dependability expectation, you're letting down your co-hosts. So that is something that when you get into podcasting, encourage you to think of it to a degree as a job, where you have people relying on you to do that show.
Yes, there's reliability, dependability, being on time for recordings. Like for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Starling Tribune, we're a live show. Same with Gunna Geek. It's a live show now. So we start at a certain time, and it's not on a dedicated TV channel or whatever. So if we're late a couple of minutes, who cares? But we have an audience of listeners and watchers and viewers that want to see us every week. And if we're not there, they're disappointed. Mm-hmm. And so if you're a co-host and you are constantly late, like a half an hour late or so, that is not good for your live listening audience, which, depending on how your podcast goes, might only be a certain percentage, but still, it's your loyal listeners and viewers yeah. that you want to take care of. So being on time is something that you need to do. And then also something that I value is somebody that's a little bit proactive, that sees something that needs to happen and goes after and does it. Now, you don't want to step over the toes of the producer or anything like that. So you might want to ask, hey, do you mind if I do this or something like that? But that sort of attitude is going to go a long way in podcasting because, like I said, it's a team of one that is producing. So anything that you can take off the producer and that is the betterment of the podcast is going to help everybody in the long run.
For sure, for sure. And I just want to say, like, when you do get everybody with a sense of knowing that they have to be dependable, it really helps the podcast gel. I want to give you a bit of an example here. Every now and then on the Gonna Geek podcast, we end up in a situation where we can't record a certain week. It doesn't happen often. I would say 2, maybe 3 times a year. Maybe it's yeah. less, but usually we have got some form of rhythm where we can do it every week. In last year, I think it was maybe 2 times, or it was 2, maybe 3, but I'm pretty sure it was 2. Well, my experience with the Gonna Geek folks is even though we'll go and we'll be like, you know what, we can't really do next week. Not enough of us can be there or whatever reason. We're not going to do that. Without fail, every single week or just before that week comes up, somebody messages in my group chat and says, so are we going this week or are we not? Because everybody just wants to make sure that we're on the same page. And if they're not going to show up, they want to make sure that nobody's going to show up. They don't want to be the lone wolf out by themselves who misunderstood. So I just love that about my crew that I've got on the Gonna Geek podcast. And it is such a good feeling that everybody knows or has that desire to be there every week where possible.
And that's the beauty of having a podcast with multiple co-hosts, like 3 or 4 co-hosts, is that you don't have to be there absolutely every week. Now, that's the intention, is that you're part of the crew every week. But if you have a business trip that you need to go on, if you have a vacation that you're taking, if you're sick, whatever, there can be weeks mm-hmm. that you have to miss. And if that happens, if it's a known thing for a vacation or a business trip, try to tell your producer that.
Yep.
Well in advance, because then the producer can either decide to go with the hosts that are available or maybe bring in another co-host, which will help. Now, we're part of the Gitta Geek Network, and we have a vast variety of co-hosts that we can bring in to any of our shows, really. If
yeah.
everybody's really interested in most of the topics because we're like-minded people and we have the same general mindset for a lot of things. Now, like with Gallifrey Public Radio, there's some people that don't want watch Doctor Who. That's understandable. You wouldn't want them as a co-host on GPR. But most people are familiar with Legends of or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I did it again every time. Wang, you guys were brilliant when you named that thing. So most people watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Most people are familiar with the DC universe, so they'll watch those shows or at least be able to talk about them. If you're talking about Supergirl or Arrow or Flash. So those shows, those podcasts that we're able to bring in people, and it's no big deal. And Gonna Geek is a very structured podcast that can plug and play with just about anybody. So that's pretty cool too. So if you're going to miss a week, no problem, but tell your producer in advance so the producer can decide how they're going to deal with it, or maybe shut it down for a week. Like for instance, a couple of weeks ago, we were going to go with Jessica Jones, the Netflix series, the Marvel Netflix series that just came out. And we're doing a series on that, on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. One of the co-hosts that is pivotal to that, Lauren, couldn't make it. So we just called it off for the week. We still showed up for our live audience and we had a chance to interact with them for about half an hour, 45 minutes. But we decided not to actually record the podcast that week, because Lauren wasn't going to be there. But I was able to make that decision in advance mm-hmm. and not have to, well, it was like an hour beforehand or whatever, but that was understandable, what had happened at that point in time. Just don't not show up,
yeah.
I guess is
yeah.
the point.
And that's where sort of the responsibility can come in a little bit from the other folks on your podcast, because you want to have the expectation that if you are going to miss an episode, that if you have enough of them, they can pull up the slack and carry on if there's no other possible piece to fit into the puzzle. So that's something that everybody shares that responsibility, that, you know, life happens. And you're the hobby podcaster. You are. And that is my biggest thing that I always say to people, is that life comes first. Over the year, I've run a variety of websites, and usually they've been run by hobby folks, people who write for fun. Maybe they podcast for fun, like on the Gunna Geek Network. And I always say that life comes first. You know, you have to have a certain reasonable expectation to get your product out timely. But on the other hand, if your kid is sick, are you podcasting or are you spending time with your kid? You better be spending time with your kid.
Totally agree. Absolutely. And you brought up a good point. We are hobby podcasting. This is not a job for us. So if this was a job, if this was a radio show, that's a good analogy, right? If this was a radio show and you were expected to be there every day, 5 days a week or whatever, and you couldn't be there, you'd call your boss and you'd tell him, right, that you couldn't be there. You just wouldn't show up, but you would show up the next day because you're getting paid, right? So as a hobby podcaster, if you need to miss a week, if you need to miss a month, it's no big deal. Just plan around it. It's really not a big deal, but tell your producer.
For sure. So what else do you have? Well, moving on a little bit from that, from expectations, we're looking at prep work, because really the next step before you do actually record is preparing your podcast. I'm of the strong opinion that you need to put some level of prep into your show, whether or not it is your hobby, because somebody is consuming that and somebody should have a decent podcast should have at least some outline of what's going to happen in that show. If you get a couple of people who just come in and they don't have any, if they haven't prepared at all, it's going to be a very, very boring podcast, because you're going to come in and what are you going to talk about, right? And maybe your podcast is one where you all come in and you kind of just round table, go around hitting a couple key points. And that's the main version of prep that you do, is you outline a few different topics to discuss in a roundtable format. That's okay, but you're still doing some level of prep for that. So everybody should have a bit of prep to the podcast. And that's distributed how you determine amongst yourselves, because that is something that maybe there is one person who doesn't necessarily want to come in with a bunch of different points to talk about, but they do or they don't want to brainstorm a bunch of the points to talk about, but they do have things to talk about on the decided topics for that episode. That's okay. That could be their role, and they're expected to come in and be prepared to talk about the subject matter. Or on the flip side, maybe you have one person who really enjoys doing that. They like to curate content and things like that. Maybe they take more responsibility. That's okay too. Or maybe you're expected, if you work in a segment sort of structure, to once a month bring a segment to your podcast. So you got to have the expectations on how the prep is going to be distributed amongst yourselves, because you definitely want to make sure that you do your prep work and it's not just one person holding up the podcast when it's expected that everybody else does a little bit too, because that one person is going to get burned out if they feel like nobody else is supporting them.
Yeah, absolutely. On Gunna Geek, we are doing segments. Everybody is in charge of a segment, and you have to be ready to go with your segment when the podcast comes up. And so that's the prep work that I do as a co-host on there. On Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., everybody takes notes on whatever we're watching for the week. Everybody looks at the news for the week so that they know what they're talking about. And so that's kind of ubiquitous for all the hosts. But Haley, she does quotes every week. That's her thing. So she has to prepare the quotes from whatever we watched so that we talk about it and laugh at it. And Lauren has a vast array of comic book knowledge and just general entertainment knowledge. Man, the knowledge that is locked up in that head is just incredible with Lauren. And she has to go and research a few things before we start, just to remind herself of what's going on. So that's great. On Starling Tribune, Neil, he puts together the show notes. He puts together all the research and all the articles. And over on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., Haley does the show notes as well. So it's a distributed factor, and it's the, really the only way that those podcasts can occur is because it's a group effort.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you're a show that you like to bring on guests. Who's going to be the main POC for that, the point of contact? Because that's something that you may need to distribute that a little bit. Maybe you have somebody who spends the majority of their free time each week editing the podcast. Should that person really be the one that's in charge of trying to organize guests? Maybe it could be emails could be responded to in a more timely manner if it went to somebody else. With that said, whoever's decided, you may want to make sure that just that one person does it because you don't want to get too many cooks in the kitchen. Maybe you're in a situation where you have one single person who actually develops the outline of the show notes. Maybe there's a show notes person responsible for that. That might be the person that takes all of the topics after you record an episode and post them on your website. That could be somebody's duties as well. Maybe you've got a website that goes with your podcast and you want to do some blog articles. That could be something as well. So many blog or each person is responsible for so many blog articles each month or whatever you want to distribute that. But the thing is, we're just trying to harp on it. Make sure that you arrange and organize who is responsible for what in the prep process because it's a bunch of dynamic components. And if one of those components is missing, it's hard to continue on in a smooth manner with your show. We've said it 100 times. There are a variety of things that can go wrong on any given day of podcasting. And if you can be at least arranged and organized in your prep work, that will make things a little bit easier if things go wrong during the recording process.
Yeah, if this was a full-time job, it would be a little bit different. Everybody would have different jobs that they would have to do anyway. But this is a hobby, so there is a precious little time available. I mean, if you're putting in 20 hours a week as a hobby for podcasting 1, 2, 3, whatever, how many podcasts you have, you don't have a lot of time to do everything that goes in with producing a podcast. If you're doing just one podcast, maybe. But the second you add a second one or a third one, the co-hosts have got to step up and do some of this stuff. So it's awesome. You're co-hosting with them anyway, so you're working with them. Might as well establish a great working relationship. Be a little proactive, as I said before, and step into some of these free prep work roles.
Absolutely.
Now, moving on, when the night that you're actually recording or the day or whatever that you're actually recording, you don't just step up, get on camera and go. Now, Blab might make it seem like that's what's going on because you get on Blab and bingo, there's no green room. On Hangouts On Air or Google Live, there is a green room that you can use and before you press live or record or whatever. So there's time there that happens. On Blab, we use Skype beforehand to get together and do pre-show prep. So that is cool. But there is a process that occurs when you're doing pre-show prep that the co-hosts are responsible to get themselves ready, right, Steven?
Absolutely, absolutely. And on that note there, I just want to go ahead and give an example of that. Right now, it's 4:36. We started recording, I guess, somewhere in the neighborhood of 4:15. SP and I, this is my time, SP and I met up at 3:15 my time because we had a time that we were going to meet. We had a few things that we needed to go through before, and some of them were on my end, some of them were on his end, some of them were together, but we together decided on 3:15 my time, and we both showed up at 3:15 that time, and then it was okay. We talked a bit about it. We understood that we each had some things to do. We did that, and then we started when we started because this show's not live. We had that opportunity and that possibility to do that. So you're right. You know, that it's something that everybody has a responsibility to show up on time to the certain recording scheduled time frame.
Right. And you don't just when you meet somebody, right, if you're carpooling with them, if you're arriving at work or school, if you are just meeting up at somebody's house, when you first come in, when you first meet them, it's like, hey, how you doing? You're kind of just getting into that groove. So there's a warm up with the repertoire, with the relationship between the two that has to occur. Like, hey, how you doing? How's the kids? You know, I oh man, I had car trouble. That sort of stuff you don't really want to have in the podcast, because it would make for loose, well, a tight or whatever. It would make for a lot of editing at the beginning. And yeah, you want to get that over with. So you want to meet each other beforehand. You want to crack a few jokes. You just want to get that relation, that repertoire, that conversation piece between the two of you, or three or four or whatever, you going as you start your podcast. So you just want to be available, and you want to be engaged, and you want to really get in charge, because when the record is pressed, you're on, and you can edit after the fact, but the less you have to edit, the better it's going to be.
Absolutely. And there's a good thing to be said about showing up a little bit early, because you don't know what could be wrong. We've had that happen a ton of times on Gonna Geek. And could we give ourselves a little bit more room? Yeah, we probably could. But the thing is, we've got ourselves what I think is a pretty comfortable buffer to get things all set up before we do end up going live. And we have had it where things go wrong and we're sitting there frantically trying to get them all fixed. I'll give you a great little example of that. Let's pretend that my son came into this room when I wasn't around and he did this. You can barely hear me now, right? Well, I don't know, actually.
I can't. What? Are you saying something right now? I can't hear you.
Exactly. Because, and I hope that translated in the after I processed the podcast. I don't know. It might not have, but that's something that maybe your levels are off. That happens. A computer is a very mysterious thing sometimes. Sometimes it just has its own mind. If you've ever used the Logitech C920 camera, you know this very well. That is something that your levels might change. And then what happens is you show up and you're expecting, let's go live now, and you can't hear somebody. So that's something that very, very, very important that you do give yourself a little bit of pre-recording time. Also warm up your voice a little bit. If you don't have a job where you talk all day either, that's something that you might be a little rusty and you might find yourself fumbling a little bit on what you're saying. So that was intentional, by the way.
I'm going to give away a network secret. Okay, go ahead. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. So Nightwing, the producer on Legends and the guy that started Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Starling Tribune, he was a co-host on Gonna Geek. Every week, right before we went live or press record, he would do one of these.
Me.
Except for he would do it in his nice little French accent or whatever. And it would sound more like this.
Me.
Or whatever. I guess it was a very poor wing imitation. But so he warms up his voice and he makes sure he is ready to go, because when he's hosting, he's the first one to talk. Steven's the first one to talk on Better Podcasting here. He's the first one to talk on Gonna Geek. I'm the first one to talk on Starling Tribune. I'm the first one to talk on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I have to be ready when I hit it with that first word, and so does Steven, and so does Wing. Basically, when you are even a co-host, you got to be ready, because when you first get on there and you say, "Hi, I'm Stargate Pioneer," you don't want to say, "Hi, I'm Stargate Pioneer." That's a mulligan. You redo when that happens.
Absolutely.
So it's just better if you are ready to go right before you record.
Although I will say, If I went to introduce myself and like my voice cracked like a 13-year-old boy, I might leave that in for the comedic effect. So I don't know. We'd see how it played out.
For me, it'd be like hacking, you know. Nobody wants to hear that old lady, that old smoking man.
Hi, how are you? I'm Stargate Pioneer.
Nobody wants to hear that.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, no, absolutely. It's good to get a bit of pre-call time in. But once you actually decide to go live for the night, or record for the day or night or whatever it is, one thing that we can really emphasize here is you got to be supportive of each other. That is huge, because we touched on that earlier. Everybody might have something going on that you need to depend on the rest of the crew. Or maybe all of a sudden we are in a situation that somebody is having audio problems. I've actually had that live happen on Gonna Geek where I couldn't hear somebody. You know what's a better example? I actually had it once where I went to inject a point into the conversation and my mic wasn't working. So it was a video show too. So I flip it over, go to the other folks there. And I just was able to depend on them carrying on while I diagnosed and figured it out. It happens. It absolutely happens. And maybe it's something else. Maybe there is something that takes the person away. It's your hobby. We talked about that. I have had to go change a diaper or assist change a diaper in the middle of a podcast. I have had to go and do other things. I've had to go help my wife get the kids out of the bath. Something has happened. I try to get my dedicated time, but it's my hobby. I have kids. So that is something that we always have amongst ourselves. Right now, I could do this with SP on Gunna Geek. I could do it with them. We have a way to communicate with each other behind the scenes so that you don't have to ruin your flow. Now, it's a little bit different when you're live, because if you're pre-recording or if you're recording, you could just say, hey, guys, I got to run and do this. But it's better if you can text it to each other and then just let the conversation continue on, because, you know, I know that you can record things in advance and edit out that point where I say, hey, I got to go change a diaper. But it does kind of ruin the flow back and forth. So it's better if you're able to message. But regardless, whatever method you decide to do to tell your co-host that you got to go take care of something really quick, You got to have them there to be supportive of you doing that and take the ball for a little while.
Yeah. So a couple of things there. First of all, absolutely, you got to be ready to take the ball. You have to be ready to go on ahead, and you have to read those signals, whatever they are. If you're in person, if you're recording in person, I think Audibly Exquisite is an example of a podcast on the network that records in person. They could do hand signals to each other and say, hey, you know, it's you or whatever. They're not live on camera. They can go back and forth like that. So if you're in person, the signals back and forth to each other are a little bit easier, because facial expressions, hand gestures, that sort of thing can greatly assist. The very first podcast that I was on in person, there were hand signals going on in the room. There were five of us, and there was pointing, there was cut when you were going long, there was just different verbal signals going back and forth. So that's pretty cool. One thing that I will say, being supportive of your other podcast hosts, is their first rule of improv is yes and, right? So if you're having a disagreement, I guess this doesn't, or a jovial disagreement, or countering each other's points is probably a better way to put it, that probably doesn't apply. But if you want to move the conversation along, if you want to support each other, it's yes and it doesn't always work, but it's a good mindset to have going into the podcast recording.
For sure. And that is something that, honestly, as you start to interact with your podcast buddies, you will get to know their cues. And it could be an audio cue. It could be a text message cue. It could be something else. But they will give you an idea of it. I'll tell you, my way that I often cue people is, well, with video, I have the control to switch to somebody else so people can take that hint that I want them to talk about it. But before that, I would often toss it to somebody, and I got known as the blind toss Big Papa. It's a long story, but that was my way of handling it. I would be talking about a subject, and I'd be like, and SP, what did you think about that? Or SP, what do we have next on the list? And sometimes it's not received very well, but I started to learn to know which of my co-hosts actually were okay with that. At one point, I actually had a conversation with them and be like, do you guys hate it? There was one person who preferred me not to do it, and then there's others who were okay with it. And so I just continue that way. And it's something that was my cue to them. Okay, I've talked enough about this. I need somebody to keep going. So different ways that you can handle that.
If you have some sort of video interface, it makes everything better, because you can have those nonverbal visual cues or whatever. So yeah, that is part of being a co-host, is being able to receive those signals and to return it and be supportive of each other, be positive. Something else on a technical scale is, if you're a co-host, if you're working on your own gear, like I am on my end and Steven is on his end, there is a certain audio quality expectation that needs to be met in order mm-hmm. to give as good of audio quality as your producer needs on his end. So just a little expectation. Doesn't have to be the massive amounts of gear that we've accumulated. It could be as simple as an ATR 2100, but you have to make sure the hiss is out of your system. You have to make sure that your levels are up, and you have to make sure that you're being able to be understood. Like my first podcast with the bass turned up, Wing was like, dude, what are you doing? And I was like, well, I was trying to be a radio host, and I was, you know, trying to have the deep radio bass. He's like, turn the bass down, SB. You're killing me here. So that sort of thing, you have to have reasonable audio quality out.
And reliable at that. So that's something that once you do have a audio quality that is acceptable to your producer, you want to be able to achieve that each week. And if you're not able to achieve that, let them know. Once again, tell them a little bit about that, because you could be in a situation that you're like, I can do this. I could take my ATR 2100 and I can go to the hotel room, and you get to the hotel room and the Wi-Fi or the internet sucks and you can't get a decent connection. Tell them about it. Hey, I just got here. I noticed the internet sucks. I don't know if it's going to be up to snuff of what you expect. That's okay. Give them the heads up on that. But you want to be able to do that and also be receptive if there's a problem. Every now and then we'll get together. Everybody will think that everything's okay. And all of a sudden someone has hiss. Someone sounds quiet. Somebody is clipping. You know, it could be a variety of things. And that's something that I as the producer of the Gunna Geek podcast, I'm going to be like, sorry, SP, you are clipping right now. And then I'll expect SP to fix that before we record. So you got to be receptive of it, because that's something that if you don't meet that expectation when it comes editing time, it might possibly lead to a not very good product for your audience base.
Yep. Another technical thing really quick that you might need to work on is if your producer wants you to double end or multi end and record on your end. So you're going to figure out how to use Audacity for that and pipe your microphone into it, as well as Skype or whatever else you're recording into, in order to get that double ender recorder. Not everybody does a double ender, but the people that do multi enders or double enders, you have to figure out how to do that recording on your end. Another little technical, I guess, maybe capability is mic etiquette, right? So we'll talk about this much, much later, but
we're not going to talk about that later.
We'll talk about, we plan to have a whole segment dedicated to mic etiquette, but basically 2 to 4 inches off the microphone, have good levels coming out of whatever system you are, and don't move around significantly, especially if you don't have a compressor or a gate on your microphone. Like, don't sit way back like I'm about to do here and expect to have good sound, because I might have good sound back here, but that's just because I have a compressor. I have a DBX 286 digital processor. But if I didn't, you would hear me really, really soft. Did my levels change there?
A little bit.
Oh, okay. So you got a little bit of the effect, but if you have an ATR 2100, I can tell you the effect is going to be way different. It's going to be more pronounced, and you're definitely going to have to deal with that. So stay on the mic. You don't have to eat the mic, but stay on the mic. Have the mic off to the side a little bit so the plosives don't go right down the barrel of the mic. And your P's, your B's, the T's, the popping, and just know how to make the sound as good as possible for your producer.
Yeah. And the reason I overran you there was because I read your signal wrong. I thought you're going to start by talking mic etiquette in the sense of not talking over each other. So that's another form of mic etiquette, because there's your physical mic etiquette, your physical, how do you position yourself with a microphone? But there's also mic etiquette as in, how do you use your microphone in the context of recording a podcast? So overrunning is something that we actually wanted to talk about here a little bit as well, because I think it actually fits a little bit better into this than it does mic etiquette. It is something that you, as a co-host, you need to be respectful of your co-host and their points that they have to make. You may disagree with the point, but wait for the opportunity to interject. There's nothing more annoying from two perspectives than somebody constantly trying to pipe into a topic and the other person is trying to get through their point. The two points where it's really annoying. Number one, it's really annoying to hear somebody overrun somebody. Number two, when you edit the podcast, it makes your editor's life more hellish, because they have to go in and if it's multi-track, try to remove that interruptions. So it's kind of double fronted. And that is something that, you know, it's not the end of the world if you do it once, but be respectful of it. A lot of times what we do with here and the Gunna Geek podcast, if we both go to say something at the same time, somebody will go, okay, go ahead. And then you kind of pause. The best thing to do from giving your producer an opportunity to fix that in post is to set up your sentence again so that they can go and they can bridge the two together and remove that little bump there. So if I was all of a sudden going to talk about, we're giving away the ATR 2100 and then SP interrupted me.
Oh, sorry. That was a blind toss. I had to get the microphone off the floor and exactly. It took a little time.
We would do that a little bit different. And I would go, we're giving away the ATR 2100, which SP has in front of him, and he'd be happy to show up or hold up. And then we would do it and continue on there, right? That is something that I would reset myself up so that I could go ahead and in post-production remove that flub. Same thing goes with interrupting. If all of a sudden somebody interrupts you and you kind of go back and forth and you continue taking on the point, restart your sentence a little bit so that it is easier to edit out. And just be aware of it happening. If all of a sudden you're noticing that happens a lot when you talk, you may want to pay attention a little bit to when you're interjecting, because if somebody is constantly saying to you, go ahead, okay, go ahead, okay, go ahead, every time that you open up your mouth to speak, you may be interrupting, and you got to be a little self-aware of that.
So I wanted to interrupt you a lot just for examples there, but I'm so well trained. He's got a point to get out that I didn't. So that's kind of funny there.
And you know, I would have edited it out anyways.
And we have that capability because we're multi-ending, but not everybody does that.
Yeah.
And another thing is, and this is not in our notes, but listen to your podcast afterwards, and that will teach you what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. Now, you can listen to it right away, and you probably do want to do that, because if somebody comments on the podcast, you want to make sure what they're commenting on, because especially if you're the co-host and you're not the producer, you don't know what's been edited out of the podcast potentially or not. Mm-hmm. And I am a big advocate of editing the podcast, maybe not extensively editing, but definitely editing a podcast, because there's just certain things that do not need to be in a podcast that you can take out and make it more enjoyable for your listener if you're going to send it out later. Now, if you have a live show, that's different, because a live show, you lose that live experience if you take some of that stuff out. So listen to your podcast. And what's most important about that is you want to listen to a podcast at least 2 weeks after it's been out, because then you've kind of forgotten what that's all about. And then you can learn from it. And if you want to pick up, if you've been podcasting for a while, if you're a co-host for a while, go back a year and listen to that stuff from a year ago or 2 years ago, if you have that backlog in there, and just learn of what you kind of remember. You kind of bring yourself back to that recording night, and you have a vague memory of what happened, but you can definitely make it a learning experience for yourself. You can be your own podcast coach by doing that, and it's a great thing to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that is something, though, that you take us towards the post show, because there are duties post show as well. Even before you get back into that cycle of the prep work for the next episode, there might be promotion. Who's going to promote it? Maybe there's publishing. Who's going to be the one that's responsible for publishing it? Who's going to be the one to syndicate it on the Gunna Geek Network when you get your successful application? Who's going to take the Twitter role? You know, you might have a Twitter account. Who's going to tweet about it? Who's going to post to the Facebook, right? There's all sorts of things that you got to talk about with the promotion thing, because, yeah, it is your hobby. I get that. Absolutely, it's your hobby, but I highly doubt that most people who do this as a hobby don't want to have people listen. I think that most people want to have somebody listen to the show, and you got to promote that somehow. So if it is, even though it's your hobby, you want to be out there talking about it somehow.
So even I'll give you an example on Voices of Defiance. Even though all three of us had access to the Twitter account, the Facebook account, whatever, Shannon was the person that was really engaged with the audience, that played games, the Defiance game, with everybody as part of the White Sack clan or whatever on Defiance. So she was the one that was most interactive with the fans. That didn't mean that Sean or I couldn't be interactive with the fans. It was just that was really Shannon and what her forte was. So we just ran with it, and that works out that way. And the same goes for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Starling Tribune for me, or Gunna Geek as well. We all have access to mm-hmm. the social media points of entrance, and really we just try to interact with everybody as we can.
For sure, for sure. And then of course we talked about who's editing it. That's something that you got to consider. It's probably your producer, but you never know. Maybe you have something a little bit different.
Well, I'll give you an example. I know on the Gonna Geek Network that Crimson Comet, they share editing duties on the Crimson Comet between the three of them, Will and Lobster and Haley. So you can, it doesn't have to be the producer that takes the podcast ball forward. It could be a co-host.
Absolutely. And then the other thing that you want to consider as well is who's actually doing the engagement with people. SP touched a little bit on your social media. You probably have a way that people can email you. Maybe everybody just gets their own direct emails, but maybe you have a general email, and who's responsible for that. And that's something that you got to consider. But there are all sorts of things that as you go through the post recording process, you will find there's responsibilities, and you want to make sure that you do have an idea of who's taking care of who. And then the other thing that I should just mention here as well is who's going to go ahead and maybe it should be everybody, but maybe one person leads it, giving and receiving feedback amongst each other, because there's a saying, everybody is their own worst critic, which is true. To a degree. I know I pick out things all the time that I say, but it's also very, very helpful to have an open conversation with each other about feedback on maybe your hosting duties or your hosting presence or the podcast in general. If somebody is sitting there and they're thinking, this is crap, why are we doing this, putting this out this way? This is not good. This isn't interesting. You got to have a conversation about it. Or on the flip side, maybe you're happy with it, but you really, really liked something else that you did. Talk about it. I really liked when we did this section about this topic. How do we have that same passion? It was great. I listened back to it. We all were engaged. We were constantly back and forth. There was no real dead silence. It was awesome. It was dynamic. Have a conversation about that, because then you can get your audience or your co-host in there to do the same, and maybe it will trigger an idea on how you can apply that to a future show.
Yeah. So first of all, stay positive with each other, because mm-hmm. you're going to be in this for the long haul.
Yep.
And if you want 100, 500 episodes, whatever, you're going to have to work together for a while. So you don't want to bash each other or whatever.
No.
And that's just general good advice for life. Stay positive with somebody else. If you have a constructive criticism, don't go and say, you sucked. You know, say, hey, you know, that was pretty good. I've liked where you've been headed. I think we can make some improvements in this to make it even mm-hmm. better. And that's great. And Steven, from the Gonna Geek co-hosting perspective, you are great of getting feedback right away from the episode that night. And then later on in the week when you're editing, you give us feedback as well and say, hey, look, I've been thinking about doing this or whatever. So it's a constant conversation that has to happen throughout the week. Now on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., I will tell you, in our prep work, we have a dedicated section that goes, okay, this is what we've noticed throughout the past few weeks, and this is how to improve. Mm-hmm. And as a co-host, if you're receiving that, just be in the reception mode of we're just trying to get better here. We're trying to have a better product for our listener, for our viewer. We're trying to improve ourselves, and podcasting is all about positive improvement or constant improvement. And that's definitely true for hobby podcasting. So just be in the receptive mode of mm-hmm. they're not knocking me. They're trying to help me. And mm-hmm. it's just a cooperate and graduate sort of thing. So just move on, move forward, and have fun.
Yeah, I agree. And there's one more thing that I was saving for this off-air section, which actually comes a little bit more towards the prepping for a podcast thing, but I wanted to save it for the last, because it's a difficult thing for people to accept. It is your hobby. You have things that come up, and you have days that are super crappy that you don't think you're going to be able to go on with a podcast. And that is something that off air, you should be kind of respective of your co-host to admit that. And that's okay. Everybody has been there, and it will come up where you'll just have a day that you're just like, how am I going to get through this podcast today? I've had something really horrible happen, and I don't feel like having this, or I've just had the worst day ever, and I'm going to be negative Nelly for the show. So you want to tell you it's okay. Admit it to your co-host off air and say, this is not going to be good for me today. I fear for this reason, and this reason. And you guys can have a conversation about that, because, you know, that is something that everybody who does hobby podcasting, or not everybody, but the majority of people who do hobby podcasting are very understanding of that. And that is an important thing that I think that you want to have that respect with each other, that that can happen. And it's okay. If it's a routine thing, then you might need to think about a different approach. But if it happens just one off, that's okay. Admit it. And you might have to bow out of that episode.
That's true. You could go any way from being supported by your other co-host to bowing out. I've done both personally. I remember podcasting on one of the worst days that I have had in a very, very long time. And I did not tell my co-host what was going on. I was guesting basically on that podcast. And I just tried to bring the best foot forward. And I'll tell you, I'm not really happy with what happened there. But again, I was a guest and I should have told the producer, look, I can't go tonight. And that's what it should have done. I should have done. But I was young, a young podcaster, and I didn't know any better back then. But I have bowed out of podcasts. I'm like, look, there was a Gonna Geek episode. I was like, Steven, look, I can't go tonight. And you were like, fine, thank you. Thank you for telling me and move on. And I've had co-hosts, as a producer, I've had co-hosts tell me that. Like, it's okay. This is a hobby. It's fine. We'll move on. So very good point. Thank you for bringing that up, Steven.
No worries. But I think that is actually taking us to the end of our first section in this arc, which is to do with hosting responsibilities and this time being co-hosting. So we are lumping it into a few different sections. And today was all about co-hosting. And we would love to hear what your experience is co-hosting. And maybe there's some points and some things that we missed. Please let us know. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Tweet us at BetterPod. That's a great way to interact with us as well, because we're always checking that. And tell us what your experience has been. And we'd love to hear from you about that. And we can share it on a future show.
I'm really looking forward to hearing from everybody on this topic.
I agree. But let's just go ahead and wrap this up and move into the Better Podcasting download.
I'm really excited about this one.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
This week in the Better Podcasting Download, we've got something going on that we've had in the can for a couple of weeks. One that I have the utmost respect for SP. I'm impressed with this. But I have to question it a little bit and how much craziness that he created on one single airplane. SB, what do you got going on here?
Yeah, no, I didn't cause the airplane to land early or have a terror alert or anything like that. But so I traveled home over the holidays and I took an airplane to get home. And a lot of you have already seen through my social media a tweet that I had all my podcast gear out and I was acting like I was actually podcasting. That was on the trip out. I didn't actually record anything. It was all stage. I had an open seat next to me. I thought this would be cool. So I got all my podcast gear out, my mobile podcast gear out. I put it on the tray and I took a picture. It's like, there are places where you probably shouldn't podcast. And then, we had a little interaction of that on social media and behind the scenes and chat and stuff like that. And so it gave me the idea, you know, when I go back, I actually should try to record something on the plane. So I've got my AT2005 microphone. I've got my H5 with me. I've got a phone, my iPhone 6 Plus that I could take video on. And I thought, well, let's just see how good this dynamic cardioid microphone, this AT2005, is in rejecting all this plane noise. So I recorded a short segment with myself. I recorded it on the video. So there's actually audio on the video too, but that was probably unusable, but good enough to sync with. And I recorded it on the H5XY microphones. Mm-hmm. So we had several audio samples and it was definitely a noisy environment. Now I actually ate the mic, right? I got right up to the microphone to try to eliminate as much background noise as I could. But I will tell you that everybody around me especially the guy sitting right next to me, was like, are you nuts? What are you doing? And so afterwards, I had this great conversation with these people sitting next to me. And one thought this lady thought I was going to sing and give everybody a show. And this other guy sitting next to me turned out to be a recording artist himself and was talking to me about tape reel to reels and everything like that. And he wanted to know all about the Zoom H5. He's like, wow, that's awesome. I used to have this big Tascam thing and that's what it is now. And so I gave him all the information. He was really excited about it. It talked my ear off about recording for the rest of the flight. And I had to leave the plane and like go to the bathroom to get away from him. So it's fine. I like talking to people about it.
But
I'm like,
if you are a listener, I'm sorry SP just said that. I'm sorry.
So anyway, I love talking about this stuff. As you guys know, I mean, that's what we did for like 4 episodes of this podcast, was talk about gear. But so I did this just to show what the capabilities of the AT2005 were in a noisy environment.
Absolutely. So we're going to go ahead and play it. And if you choose check out the YouTube side of things, you can see the video along of SP on an airplane recording this. So here we go.
Well, hello. This is SP coming at you from a plane, as you can clearly see. My passenger to the right of me is very intrigued at what I'm doing, but really what I'm doing is I'm testing this audio gear on the plane. Normally, I don't know if a lav mic or a shotgun mic would work best, but what I'm using right now is the Audio-Technica AT2005, as I'll show you in a second here. There you go. I've got my Audio-Technica ATH-M50X headphones monitoring my Zoom H5, and I'll pan down really slowly. You can see it on the tray. There you go. So that's basically it. I'm hand-holding the mic. I don't have a lot of space in here. It's one of the regional jets, and you can clearly hear that we are in the air, so the ambiance that you are hearing around me is the jet. I've got the XY mic of the H5 recording as well as the Audio-Technica, so there is a total of 2 tracks going. Actually 3, because the XY track is 2 tracks. And this is just a test to see how well this does on the plane. And you're probably hearing a lot of noise. We'll probably show you a track that is untreated and a track that is treated, but this is the benefits that you're going to get from a dynamic cardioid microphone on board a noisy environment. So this is just me coming back from holiday break on the plane back home from Minnesota, and hi to all my Minnesota peeps. It was a great seeing you, and that's about it. So this was a test of mobile gear actually on the plane. See you guys later. Bye.
What a great, great video. I couldn't believe it when you sent this to me. I was so impressed. Actually, you first texted me about it as soon as you landed, and I was like, no. And I remember this was a couple weeks ago. I'm like, when you get home, upload that thing right away, because I am so looking forward to seeing this. And you did. And then I ended up, as SP mentioned in there, you did a great job of setting it up. We'll probably show you a treated track. So I went and I took this track and I decided to post-process it a little bit, change a couple things, see if I could get it cleaned up. Honestly, I spent maybe 10, 15 minutes on the thing, if that. And that was start to finish. So I did a fairly quick job, just as an example, because I got other things to do. But you can hear in this one here, and if you only play it back again, you'll hear there's tons of airplane noise. That is something that there is nothing that has been changed about that. The only thing that I did was take the level and boost it up. That's the only thing that I've done. And I didn't even use a compression plugin. I just raw took that and boosted it up by, I think it was 6 decibels. So ended up doing that with that. But now we've got a post-process one. I'll show you the whole thing. And it is something that, like I said, quick 10-15 minute job on this and trying to remove some of that noise and change it a little bit. So you want to take a listen to that, SP?
I do. I want to hear what happened.
All right.
Well, hello. This is SP coming at you from a plane, as you can clearly see. My passenger to the right of me is very intrigued at what I'm doing. But really what I'm doing is I'm testing this audio gear on the plane. Normally, I don't know if a lav mic or a shotgun mic would work best, but what I'm using right now is the Audio-Technica AT-2005, as I'll show you in a second here. There you go. I've got my Audio-Technica ATH-M50X headphones monitoring my Zoom H5, and I'll pan down really slowly. You can see it on the tray. There you go. So that's basically it. I'm hand-holding the mic. I don't have a lot of space in here. It's one of the regional jets, and you can clearly hear that we are in the air. So the ambiance that you are hearing around me is the jet. I've got the XY mic of the H5 recording as well as the Audio-Technica. So there is total of two tracks going. Actually, three, because the XY track is two tracks. And this is just a test to see how well this does on the plane. And you're probably hearing a lot of noise. We'll probably show you a track that is untreated and a track that is treated, but this is the benefits that you're going to get from a dynamic cardioid microphone on board a noisy environment. So this is just me coming back from holiday break on the plane back home from Minnesota, and hi to all my Minnesota peeps. It was great seeing you, and that's about it. So this was a test of mobile gear actually on the plane. See you guys later. Bye.
So there you go. There you go. The treated track and the quickly treated track. What do you think about that?
That is awesome. You took out all the noise. It was a little, it sounded a little bit underwater, but with that much background noise, I mean, I don't know what the DB accounting background noise is in a plane, but it is very noisy. It's really big white noise. And to not hear any of that and to be able to hear me crisply and cleanly, that was amazing. So that was a great test of audio gear, and you can get that sort if you're recording in a noisy environment. Yeah. Like you're in a bus terminal or a subway terminal or whatever, and I don't know why you'd be recording there, but if you are, you could take out some of that background noise. I know there's some podcasts that people actually do when they're running or cycling. Yeah. Or whatever, and there's wind noise, so you could take that out with a dynamic cardioid microphone.
Yeah, and there's a couple of points in that. It does sound a little bit underwatery. There's a little bit of sort of weird sparkle sort of sound. There's some things in there that I've played with the noise removal quite a bit. If I spent a couple of hours trying to hone it in there, I think I could get a lot of that gone and find the right balance. You'd still hear it to a degree because you're removing noise from it, but I do think that I could play a little bit more with that. I would actually probably end up bringing in a little bit of the noise in order to remove that. But that is something that, like I said, I spent 10, 15 minutes on it. But there's something that I actually noticed this time playing it back that I didn't notice the previous times. During it, you can actually hear somebody cough on the noise removed version, and you can hear a pop can flip.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't
hear that. I thought that was kind of neat. But, that I guess is sort of... an indicator that your dynamic microphone won't always remove all of the surrounding environment from you.
No. As a matter of fact, I've done a lot of cleanup of audio that has been taken at cons for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. in particular. And I know you've done some of that for Gunna Geek as well. And just, you can't take all that noise out. You can take a little bit out of it, but you can't take all of it without losing audio quality. And in the case of a convention panel, you don't want to take out all that ambient noise. You want to hear the crowd reaction as well. So, I mean, if you're in a noisy environment, you might as well keep some of that in. There's no need, unless you're like narrating a book or something. Why the heck would you be doing that from a plane? I have no idea. But
we should specify, we're not saying go record your podcast on a plane. This was to take the extreme example of a noisy environment to emphasize how good a dynamic microphone can be in your day-to-day activities, right? Because you may have that computer fan sitting right there a foot away. It is a hell of a lot quieter than SP on a plane. So there's one last thing that I have, and don't worry, it's not the whole thing again, but you touched on it briefly. Maybe you're at a convention panel. Maybe you have a bunch of that going on. Maybe that is something that you want to put it into a produced, a well-produced segment, maybe with some underlying audio. It will hide some of those artifacts. So I've actually done that to show you how it does hide a little bit. So once again, really quick job on this. I know things aren't balanced evenly, but it is something that I just wanted to show how, you know, maybe putting an underlying track in a produced segment, if it is a noisy environment, can help hide and mask some of that environment.
Well, hello. This is SP coming at you from a plane, as you can clearly see. My passenger to the right of me is very intrigued at what I'm doing, but really what I'm doing is I'm testing this audio gear on the plane. Normally, I don't know if a lav mic or a shotgun mic would work best, but what I'm using right now is the Audio-Technica AT-2005, as I'll show you in a second here.
So yeah, I just wanted to do that really quick because you still hear a bit of that sparkle, right? You know, to me though, you hear less of it and you hear less of the underwatery sound, just putting a little bit of a track there. And once again, very, very, very extreme example here. And it is something that if I spent more time with it, I could have masked it a little bit better.
That's awesome. That was the first time that I even heard about that. Steven surprised me with that right now. That is great. That's awesome. And Steven knows that I love that. What is it? We're grooving to electro pop or whatever the sound that we use for our intro and outro. Yeah. I love that song. So that was awesome. Thank you.
For sure. But yeah, I just wanted to go ahead and show you that. And remember, the microphone that that SP is using is the Audio-Technica AT-2005, which is essentially the same as the Audio-Technica ATR-2100. By the way, cycling back, talking a little bit about co-host picking up where you are going with your point, completely unplanned there. SP picked up the ATR-2100 to show on camera. He picked up on what I was doing. So that is something that, remind you, we are giving that away. Email contest@betterpodcasting.com and tell us why you want to use the mic and tell us a little bit about what you're going to do. And we can't wait to get your entries on there. So that is taking us to the end of episode 11 of Better Podcasting. SP, thank you very much for doing that segment. It was wonderful. I loved it. You know, there'll be some point in my time that I'll be like, I got myself an hour. I want to see what I can do. And I'll try to dick around with it a little bit more, I think.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing what you come up with as well, because that was just, it was completely unplanned. It was just something that I had in my mind of, hey, I wonder what would happen. So there you go. It was awesome. So I love those microphones, the 2100 and the 2005. That's great.
For sure. So that is going to wrap us up. Before we do go, though, I just want to remind you, if you are looking for a great little piece of desk gear or of rack gear, there is over at maidenfarmington.com. It is a great company that SP's purchased a product from, and we mentioned this last time. We've got a way that you can get 10% off. Use the coupon code BETTERPOD10 when you do buy something there. They've got really great products, and that's something that, as I mentioned before, or SP mentioned last week, he did seek them out to try to get this discount code. So we just want to go ahead and plug that now.
Yeah, absolutely. Love their stuff. And I know a lot of the hobby podcasters end up with some sort of rack mountable gear. And sometimes it's just laying on the desk. If you want to protect it a little bit, if you want to stack it a little bit, having one of those racks are great. If you want to put your monitors up on a rack or whatever, and you're not really woodworking adept, these guys do phenomenal work. I really can promote it just from the stance of I have it. And I love their product and I think it's great. And if you're looking for something like that, you get a 10% discount, and they were gracious enough to give that.
Absolutely. So for episode 11 of Better Podcasting, I'm Steven John Drew.
And I'm Stargate Pioneer.
Bye. Have fun on the plane.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.